is kind of the big idea of Acts.
If we look at Acts as a whole, what's the big idea that we see? What's the picture that we see in Acts? Anybody want to give it a try? The gospel is spreading out, right? The gospel is going out. It's starting from Jerusalem, and it is going out. The gospel is moving out. And then as the gospel is going out, when we think gospel sometimes, we only think of people getting saved, right? Do you understand what I mean by that? So we think sometimes when you say share the gospel, okay, we think, what is sharing the gospel to do? We think sharing the gospel is to help others get what? Saved, right? Because we don't want them to be lost. We want them to be saved. Correct? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Okay. This is what we usually think. But when we talk about biblical sharing of the gospel, okay, because when we think of this right now, we think, hey, you know what? How many of you have someone in your mind that you believe this person really needs to get saved? Okay? That's all? Nobody else? Okay? Who in their mind has someone in your mind that says, I pray and I hope that this person gets saved? Raise your hand again. Okay? So that's most of the class. Most people have someone that they're thinking, maybe it's a family member. How many of you it's a family member? Okay? How many of you it's a friend? Okay? So you have both. You're thinking of this person and you just hope somehow they would get the gospel and they would be saved. Okay? I want to clarify something today that as we begin to understand what it means to share the gospel, and as Auntie Kim said, the theme of Acts, the big idea is the spreading of the gospel. Okay? I want to challenge you first today that when we think about the concept of sharing the gospel so that our friend or family member can get just saved, I want to say that this is an incomplete answer. Because when we think about sharing the gospel just to get saved, we are cutting it short. It is more than just getting saved. Right? So, really, the picture is as we share the gospel, that is part of the process of making what? Disciples. Okay? So, what would be missing from just being saved? How would you say it? When you share the gospel, it's not just to have someone saved, because if we think of this, and I'm going to preach on this today, so you'll hear it in the sermon, okay? So you'll hear it two times to make it stick. When we think of the word saved, sharing the gospel to get saved, we tend to think that when we say the word saved, it is what? The goal, right? Or the point. Or the, what do you call it? The end. Okay? We will think, I'm going to share the gospel with this person. I'm going to share the gospel with this person. Or someone will share the gospel with this person. Or
the myth that I'm trying to, both Pastor James and I are trying to correct at our church. I don't know how to share the gospel, so I know I'll bring them to church. Right? So instead of me bringing the gospel out, because we might not know how to share the gospel, we end up just trying to bring non-Christians in. You get what I mean? And then when we share the gospel, and then someone gets saved, we all go, hooray! Amen! 感谢主! 感谢主! Right? In Cantonese? 感谢主! We have a few Cantonese speakers. You have two Cantonese speakers in the back, right? So we say, 感谢主! And you say, 感谢主! You say, praise God! Right? You say, praise God! We have helped, we prayed, we share the gospel, this person is saved, and then we are done. Isn't that the issue? Is salvation, or when we say saved, the end goal? Yes or no? No. This is wrong. Getting somebody saved is not the end. What should it be? The beginning. You see? The first step. The first step of a lifelong journey of walking. You with me? So when we say, we see Acts as the gospel going out, there's two things that we need to understand. And this morning I wanted to show you this. The first thing that we need to understand is when we say share the gospel to get someone saved, that's not right. That's half right. Okay, so if someone says, oh yeah, we want to share the gospel to get someone saved, that's okay. All right? But you could say it's half right. Because the goal of sharing the gospel is to see someone to be growing as a disciple. What's another word for disciple of Jesus? Follower. If you say the Chinese word, making disciples, what is that? What is a Chinese word for disciple? Okay, mantu. How do you say the word Christian in Chinese? Jiru tu. What's the word tu come from? Tu di, no? Tu ren? No! What is the Chinese part of jiru? Okay, jiru is what? Christ? Tu. What is the word for tu? Yes, it's like men tu, right? It's not hua tu, it's men tu. So even in the Chinese, actually, see the Chinese word for Christian. How do you write it? Okay, is this? Okay. Yeah, is Christ? Okay, it's Christ. It's Jidu, right? Jidu, right? Jidu.
Yeah.
And then Christ is, and then Tu is what?
Follower.
So actually the Chinese is better than the English version, which is Christian. Christian doesn't say Christ follower. We say Christian, Christian, right? Okay, Christian. We say Christian, but in the Chinese, it's really the right picture. Jiru tu. A follower of Jesus. Do you understand this first point? So when we are sharing the gospel and we see the spreading of the gospel,
in the book of Acts, because we're coming to an end of Acts, and I want to just wrap this up. When we think of the picture of spread, the gospel is going out and people are getting saved, let's understand what it means to get saved. Saved is just the end? No. Is getting someone saved the end goal? No. Getting someone saved is just the beginning. It is the first step of following Jesus. You with me? So it's the first step of making disciples, being a follower of Jesus, a Christ follower. Chinese, in this case, is perfect. English, not so perfect. So when I think of myself in Chinese, I hope a Chinese Christian goes, that's right, 对,我是基督徒. And when you say that, you are saying, I am a follower of Jesus. I hope. Does that happen in Chinese? It's okay, you don't have the answer, right? Probably not. But I hope that in Chinese, when you say, 我是基督徒, then you're like, I am a follower of Jesus. I'm not just saved. I am saved to follow. You with me? Yes? Amen? Okay. The second thing that we see in Acts, when we think of the concept spreading the gospel, is as what I've been saying about 3-4 times throughout our Acts series. The biblical picture of the church. Who is the church? People. The followers of Christ meeting in an area. So we have a picture of something like this. Okay, these are people, ugly people, no body, no arms. Okay? Hey, Chinese. Ren. I'm very in a Chinese mood today, right? Chinese, Ren, okay? This is the church. Okay. When we talk about biblical spreading of the gospel, where does the gospel go? The gospel goes, right? So the gospel goes out. Right? We are bringing the gospel out. It's supposed to go out. You bring the gospel out. You're bringing the message out. You're bringing the message everywhere you go. And in Acts, we see that is how the church is on the move. The church is always moving. The church is always spreading. It's growing. They are planting new churches. You don't see much in the New Testament where the church grows to become like 10,000 people. You see like brothers and sisters bringing the gospel out and a new area, a new city where the gospel begins to take root, and then you start another group of jirutu. So then you have another church, and another church, and another church. The gospel is going. You with me? Okay. But you also then have to know the message. The problem with us today, and this is the thing that Pastor James and I really would like our church to grow and understand. And by the way, this class gets to hear a lot of that message very clearly from me. But Pastor James and I see that the problem we have at our church right now is we are not as familiar with how to share the gospel. So we go out and we take these non-Christians and we try to bring them in. And it's okay, because you say, I want my family member, I want my friend to know Jesus, I want them to be a Christ follower, I don't know what to say, so I'll just bring them to church, the pastor will share the gospel to them, or the spiritual people will share the gospel to them. They will help get them saved. So what we have right now is we have a whole group of people at our church. Because the church is what? This location? No. The church is the people. And so we bring all these people in. And so now you have all these. Is this the church? Is this the church? No, this is a mix of the church and the non-church. That's what we have. When you look outside today, we have a baptism. Everybody's out there. Do we say, oh, praise God, look at our church? No. Not everybody is the church. You with me? There are people here, and they're not bad. They're not like, they're not here to attack us. Okay, I'm not saying that this is like the, this is the wolves in sheep's clothing. Okay, this is not. These are just people seeking to know Jesus. It's okay. It's okay. Is this okay? It's okay. We just have to be clear. But some of the reason why this is happening is because we are not going out with the gospel. You with me? We're just saying, come. Come, because someone will tell you the gospel here. I cannot do it. You with me? So when we studied Acts, we're seeing that the picture is the gospel goes out. That's point one and point two. Okay? You with me?
Pastor Alex, sometimes a lot of the, goes down to LA or places like that, some of the Korean churches, they go marching around, they try to spread the gospel on the street. Is that right to do it that way?
What do you think? Is it okay?
Depends.
Sure. Depends why.
The way they're doing it, how they're spreading it.
Okay.
Pushing.
There are different ways of sharing the gospel, right? There are people that, even when I used to drop Kevin off at school, I'd drive to Los Osos, and I'll go sometimes down to church, or I will, like once in a blue moon, I'll actually go to work out at the 24-hour fitness, but I'll go down Milliken, in the corner of Milliken and, I think, Foothill? Is it Foothill? There is this black lady, and she has these signs that are like bigger than all of these signs. It's like a sign that's as long as this room, and it will say Jesus. Sometimes you'll see a person standing on Foothill in Euclid, right? At UCLA, I saw people sharing the gospel, and they're holding signs saying, like, you're going to hell. Right? That's like Freeman's way of sharing the gospel to the Buddhist, right? The Buddhist is like, oh, and Freeman just says, you're wrong. You're going to go to hell, right? If you do that, is that a good way to share the gospel? Probably not, because that's a little bit too mean, a little too strong, right? But the point is, we do need to share the gospel, and sometimes we do need to get out to friends and family, and sometimes on the street. I think it's okay. It's just how you do it. Okay? So we had two quotes. Remember, this helps us with the right attitude, and I want us to sink these in. Let's follow the first one, and what's the attitude? You know this already. Evangelism, sharing the gospel, is just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. And this shows us that we should have a sense of what? Humility. So if I'm going to do street evangelism, I also need humility. I cannot go, hi, friend, are you a non-Christian? Yes, you are. You're going to hell. He will walk away. Or I have a horn in his face. You non-Christian, you're going to hell. You need Jesus. Do you think he'll, oh yes, I need Jesus. Probably not. So we need to have humility as we share with people. Second is, can we be casual in the work of God? casual when the house is on fire and people in danger of being burned. That shows us that we need to have a sense of urgency. We do need to think about our friends and family who do not have Jesus and their house is burning. And very soon, we don't know when, they will be burned. Forever burned. We need to have that urgency. Okay? So last week, what I did was I taught you a way to share the gospel. Do you guys remember what it was? Okay. What was it? It's called one verse evangelism. Do you guys remember what to do? I'm going to quiz you now. What, as you're talking with your friends, what is the one verse that you can memorize? What is the one verse that you can memorize to help you share the gospel? Anybody remember off your memory? What was the verse? Romans 6:23. Great. What does it say now? Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin, let's work together, is death. What's a big word in there? What I like, big, but okay, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Is that it? Romans 6:23. That's it. Let's try to read it together and then we're going to memorize it together. Ready? One, two, three. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Or Christ Jesus our Lord. It doesn't matter. And this is ESV, so it says free gift. Because a lot of the ESV editors are more reformed. But I memorized it in the NIV and it did not have this word free. It doesn't mean it's not free. It's still free gift, right? The editors of ESV added that emphasis. Okay, so it's okay. You don't have to say free. Okay, now let's memorize it. You got it? One, two, three. Good. Very good. You guys got it? Okay, who didn't get it yet? Let's try it again. Very slowly, making sure we see the picture. Ready? One, two, three. Okay, good. All right. Christ Jesus, Christ Jesus. These two are going to debate each other. It's Christ Jesus, but you can say Jesus Christ. That's okay. It's just like saying Chen Joshua. Okay, or like his testimony last night. He's deeming. Okay. That's okay. That's okay. That's probably what I would have said too. I am deeming. Okay, so what do you do as you're talking to someone? Do you always have to say the verse out? No, but it helps. You can write it down. And then what's the first thing you do? What's the first word in order there that you need to make sure that they understand? For the
wages.
So what do? You write down the word wages. And what's the question you ask them?
Do you know what wages are?
Do you know what wages are? Is it that?
Yeah.
Or it is, how do you feel if your boss didn't pay you the wages you earn? Because if you just say, do you know what wages are? That's like, you're going to hell. I don't know what wages are. Okay. But it's more of like a question like, how would you feel? Feeling questions are good questions. Hey, how do you feel if you weren't paid? Well, boy, I'd be pretty mad. You know what? We should always be given what we earn, right? Well, In the same way, we get what we are, we earn what we get for how we live our life. Okay, that's what you say. Second, then you go, oh, what do we get then for the way that we earn our life? You get, what was the way you lived your life? You lived your life in a way that's not going with God, right? That's called what? Sin. Then you write sin down. This is a good question where you can say, what do you think about this word? What do you think? What do you feel about this word? Some people say, I don't like this word. I don't like that word. It reminds me of when I was a little boy, little girl growing up in church. They always said I had sin. Well, do you have sin? What is sin? Well, I'm not a murderer. I don't steal. Okay, those are actions. But what about the attitude of your heart? That's what I always focus on. What about inside? Have you ever been so angry at someone that you can't let go? And this, by this time, you know your friend already. You know your family member. You know that some of them struggle with bitterness. Some of them struggle with envy. Some of them struggle with anger. Some of them struggle with anxiety. And you know what they're feeling already. And you say, see, even in the attitudes of your heart, even you don't even want God. That's already a sin. You don't want to even know God in your life. That's already a sin. And then I oftentimes will help ask this question. Has God ever seemed far away? And to most people, the answer is yes. And I will say, that's what sin does. Sin puts God far away from us. I use my hands a lot, right? Or in this picture here, what should we do? Here's where you draw the picture. Have you ever felt that God was so far away? And you draw the picture. Well, here's you, and here's God. And that's what sin does. And then you share what? For the wages of sin is death. And you write the word death. And in the Bible, death always means some kind of separation. Like, very simply, death is separation from life. But if God is the creator of life, if God is the author of life, then our sin forever separates us from Him. And this picture helps. This picture always helps. Like, you can't even get to God because of your sin. And sometimes I'll say, because God is a holy God. God is a good God, right? And we have not so good stuff in us. Make sense? Yes?
Okay. Pastor Alex, I've had an experience with this recently. The guy said, well, I drink, I smoke, I do drugs. I know I'm going to hell. So don't try to talk me out of it.
Right.
Is it right? You have a wife and family. I do a lot of bad things. I know I don't want to change.
Right.
It's very hard to speak the gospel.
Very hard. And it's true. There's many people that we know that even after you shared and you've loved them and you've cared for them, they're resistant. Because the Bible tells us that we cannot change people. Right? We can only share the good news. But only God can change people. So that's okay. All right? And then after you share death and now you're forever separated from God, oh, that's pretty bad news. I thought you said you're going to share good news with me. Oh, but what's the next big word in this sentence? But. And that's where you write the big but right here. A big but. The word is important. That was the bad news. But now for the good news. Okay? You all start laughing when you write but now. Just don't write B-U-T-T. Just write B-U-T. Right? And you'll say, but what? The gift. Then you write the word gift. And then I ask the question, like, if wages are earned, what is a gift? Right? What is a gift? Remember, a gift is free, but it was purchased. Right? I'm going to move this up a little bit. It's a gift from who? It's a gift of God. How do you feel with the gift? Feeling question, right? Because it's easy to answer feeling questions. It's more like, I feel good. I feel bad. I hate it. I hate gifts. Who in the world hate gifts? But when you say, when was the last time you received a gift that you love? Oh, they'll tell you a story. It feels good to get a gift, doesn't it? This is a gift of God. And it's a gift of eternal life, which is the opposite. See, if you write these down, it's the opposite of death. You see that? A gift is opposite from wages. And your eternal life is opposite from death. Okay? You with me? Yes? Okay. And that's it. Eternal life through who? Jesus Christ. And that's when you draw the cool... This takes practice now. Because unless you're a nice architect or engineer, you're going to struggle with this. But you have to make sure you connect this cross so that it goes. Because if you're short, they're like, oh, what happened to this part? You got to make sure you connect the road. And then you write Jesus Christ in the middle of the cross. Okay? And then you share... Are you willing to trust? Like Lily was in our class last week. She says, the basic sales, right? You got to remember the ABCs. Always A, B, B, C, closing. Always be closing. You always have to ask, at least. She said that, not me, okay? She said, you know what? At the end, you always have to ask, do you understand this? Would you want to trust in Jesus so that you can be with God? Because that is the end of the journey. No, that is the beginning of a whole life with Christ, with God. You'll have new life with Him, a whole new life, the beginning of a journey. Okay, you guys with me? All right. Now you guys get to practice this today. Okay? So you're going to find a partner. Yes. You're like, oh no, everyone's like, everyone hates this part. Practicing sharing the gospel. But I want you to try if it's okay. Okay, so get your paper out. Find a partner that you're comfortable with. Okay, if you're not comfortable, okay, just please try. Okay? And then you are only going to get 10 minutes. You'll get about five to 7 minutes each, because this should be like, you. Who likes long sermons? Nobody likes a long sermon that just goes on and on and on and on. You need to move this along. You guys got to get familiar with it, move along. Don't spend like all your time on like, the bad news. Make sure you get a big butt so you get over to the good news, okay? Everybody, you'll get about like 5 to 7 minutes each, and then we're gonna see how we did. I know this is hard. Just do your best, laugh, have fun, laugh at each other, it's okay. Lian xi, practice.
Oh my God.
Okay, time. How was it? If you're still talking right now, that means your sermon's going too long, right? So now you know how hard it is for a preacher, okay? And how many of you were able to lead someone to Christ today? Yeah? Everybody a Christian in this room? All right, good job, good job. So can you see, was this helpful?
Yeah.
Okay? It's helpful in a lot of ways, not just that you know the words to say, it shows you that you need ways to be able to communicate the gospel. You need ways. This is just one way. It's just one idea. All right? But I remember when I was first introduced to this concept, and I was just kind of stuck in my mind, I remember the first time that I had to use it. And it just came to my mind. And I didn't have the verse, but I was trying to make the point that, like, see, that's like the way you are. That keeps God so far away from you. And as soon as I did that, I'm like, let me draw you a picture. And I drew this picture. And I put God here and the man here. I'm like, look at this picture. Because once you stick it into a picture, it's going to help explain. Right? And I remember now, or I don't even remember now how many times I've used that picture. I've used it in preaching. Even as I speak, as I preach, I use this picture. This picture I see in my mind. It's like this, you can't cross this area because it drops down to nowhere. I always see a big but. I love the words but in Scripture. Right? Because it was, everything begins with, you do not deserve God's love. Right? But God showed his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, right? So we love the buts in Scripture, right? And it brings us right into the good news. But you got to give the bad news before you give the good news, right? And so this is the process. Hopefully it's helped you a little bit of practice and keep working on it. Use it. Use it this week. Find someone. Hey, buddy, I learned something new in this weekend. You know, you remember how we're talking about God before? Can I just share with you like one verse? Just one. Just like 5 minutes or like 6 minutes, right? Promise you, no more than seven. And your buddy goes, okay, just one verse, fine. Let me write this one down. On the back of a napkin. For the wages
of sin is death.
But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23. Okay. Great. Hey, look, I memorized this first. Hey, nice job, buddy. Hey, what if our boss didn't pay you your wages? How would you feel? Oh, let me write that word down real quick. There you go. Just work through the whole thing. I've even done that before. One time I was preaching for a gospel night message at Alhambra Church. And I stayed late in the office and I was just working on my computer. And then another guy came over and he goes, what are you doing, man? You working on a deal? I'm like, no, I'm actually working on a talk that I'm gonna give at another church. He goes, oh, what's the title of that talk? Right? And I go, hey, you wanna hear it? And he goes, sure. I straight up preached like a 20-minute message to him because he said he was willing to. But I let him ask questions and everything. I got the gospel straight to him because I'm like, you want to hear it? And if he said no, I'd be like, that's cool. I'll just keep working. But he said yes. So I said, let's go. Right? So look for these opportunities. Look for these opportunities. Practice using this. And I want somebody in Sunday school one of these days to come on Sunday and say, hey, I didn't lead someone to Christ. But I want to tell you that I used one verse and I used the bridge to share the gospel. Okay? Who's going to be the first one? D, is that going to be you? D, me. All right, let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, we thank you so much Lord, it is challenging. It's hard as we even see the biblical picture of the church. Because from the church, the gospel goes out. It goes forth. And it is certainly okay. It certainly is okay as non-Christians come into our church. It's certainly okay for us to bring our friends and family to church so that they can hear about God. But Lord, we would be remiss if we did not know that as Christ followers, we're also gospel bearers. We are called to bring the good news out. So Father, where in our life are we not doing that? Why are we not bringing the gospel out more? Father, would you help us to not only be a part of leading others to be saved, but as we saw throughout the book of Acts, we see people being made into disciples, followers of Christ. Remind us that salvation, even today as we see our baptism, that for all these sisters, their salvation was their first step of a whole life of walking with you. So Lord, would you remind us of that today? Remind us to walk with you and remind us to walk with the gospel in our hands, ready to bring it out to all those who need it. We thank you and I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.